Welcome to the Cross-Eyed Radio Program, sponsored by Joshua Revolution. Cross-Eyed is a radio talk show dedicated to proclaiming the message of the cross. We want to encourage you to open your Bible with us as we study the life-changing revelation found within the scriptures of how to live the victorious Christian life. Now, let's go into the studio of Joshua Revolution on Grand Island, New York, with your host, Mike Chory.
Welcome to Cross-Eyed Radio tonight. We are so glad to welcome all our listeners here from Western New York, Southern Ontario, and wherever you're listening tonight, from your home computer, your phone, your radio. This is your host, Mike Chory. We are broadcasting live tonight, thank God, from Grand Island, New York, at our radio broadcast studio. And we are thanking the Lord that we're live, because most things these days are, you have to stream it or record it. And but this is a live broadcast because we fall under the category of essential services. And so we're very thankful to the Lord for that, and we don't expect that to change. I know there is a lot of change right now with church services shutting down and going to simulcasting or streaming, Facebook, any which way they can get the message. And my heart bleeds, let me tell you that. I'll just start out the program tonight. It's a sobering time that the church cannot be together. And there's a reason for it, and we want to get to that reason here tonight and in future weeks. Hopefully it's not going to be long at all. You know, Easter is only, I believe it's 3 weeks away, April the 12th, 3 weeks from tomorrow. And we've got to pray, church, that the doors of the church will be open so we can worship and celebrate the greatest event in human history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we've got 3 weeks. So what that means to me is we're going to have to pray for God to do a great and mighty work, not just in our country, but all over the world. Tonight as we speak, unfortunately, this virus, the coronavirus, is in, I believe, just about every country in the world. And there are like 197 countries in the world. And the last I looked, I think that is where it is. Now, some countries might have just one or two cases right now. But think about that we right now are seeing a global epidemic. And I want to read a scripture to you tonight that when the disciples came to Jesus and they asked Jesus, what would be the sign of your coming, Lord? And what would be the end of the world? I'm in Matthew 24. And, you know, it's not going to be the end of the world, friend. It's going to be the changing of the world. One of these days, Jesus is going to come back, and we're going to see him rule and reign for 1,000 years. It's called his millennial kingdom. But this is what they were asking, and Jesus said in answer to that question, take heed, that means be careful, that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and there will be pestilence, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And right now what we're seeing is under that category of pestilence. And there has been a lot of things going on since the beginning of 2020. And this one's probably the biggest. This is bigger than anything we've seen so far this year. And we've seen invasion of locusts in Africa. We have seen volcano activity in the Philippines. We've seen earthquakes in various places. And we've seen the impeachment process of our president. Thank God that's over. And now we're seeing an epidemic that is worldwide that has put us all on shutdown mode. Unless you're an essential service, your business is shut down. Your social life is shut down. And coming into the studio here tonight, very little traffic on Grand Island. Even though the ban doesn't go into effect till tomorrow at 8 p.m., our governor here in the state of New York has done a 100% shutdown for all businesses, all social gatherings, and as we've said, it's only essential things like your supermarkets, your pharmacies, the hospitals, police, you know, and various utility companies, that sort of thing. But as I was driving in tonight, I noticed that the houses all the way down the streets, all the lights are on. People are in their houses, and I believe the Lord has a plan in this. You know what? The church began in a house, in an upper room, and they were there for 10 days waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And God came on that 10th day. He poured out his Spirit, and they came out of the temple. They came out of his house preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And on that day, they came out after being in their house for 10 days praying and seeking God. The Lord saved 3,000 souls when Peter got up and preached on the southern steps of Jerusalem at the temple. And could this be a time for us to be in our homes, not, you know, just carrying on with just regular living and looking at your clock, when are we going to get out of this shutdown mode? But what if we became the people that know their God? What if we became houses of prayer? What if we began to seek God and ask God to do a work in these last days, that we would again appreciate what has been taken away from us? Number one, the gathering together in God's house to worship Him on Sunday morning, to go down to that church and pray during the week, or go to midweek Bible study. You know, someone once said, you don't know what you really have. You don't appreciate what you really have until it's taken away from you. And so this time, I believe God has removed these things from our life for a reason. And I'm praying and believing that everyone who calls on the name of Jesus, that believes in Jesus, their homes will become houses of prayer. We need a miracle. We need God to lift this plague. And we're praying that this pestilence is going to bring a conviction over the world. This is how quickly things can change. You know, I've heard it said this week, is this the beginning of the apocalypse? Well, no, it's not the apocalypse yet. That's found in Revelation 6 when Jesus himself breaks the seals, the seven seal judgments that lead into the seven trumpet judgments that lead into the seven bowl judgments, and each judgment gets worse and worse. Friend, this is nothing compared what we're going through to that. But this very well could be, and I believe it is, this is a foreshadowing of what is to come during the Great Tribulation, only 100 times worse. But he's trying to warn you. He's trying to awaken you. And tonight here on Crossside Radio, that's exactly what we want to do. We want you not to be deceived. We don't want you to be gullible. We don't want you to only see one part of this crisis and not the whole picture. And I believe there are many facets to what's going on right now. And so tonight we want to inform you. We want to do the best we can. And I am so excited tonight to have a very special guest with us tonight. Gary Ka is going to be our guest here on Crossside Radio. He is a dear friend of mine. We did a prophecy conference a couple years ago in Northern Kentucky on end time prophecy, and he did an amazing job. He is the former Europe and Middle East trade specialist for the Indiana government. And while in that position, Gary has traveled extensively overseas, working closely with American embassies on trade-related projects. He's written 2 best-selling books. Maybe he'll tell us a little bit about that tonight, detailing his experiences and exposing the One World Interfaith Movement. And that, I think, is a lot of what we're seeing, the beginning of what's going on here. And he's going to talk to us tonight about that. And since his first book, En Route to Global Occupation, which was introduced in 1992, Gary has been very busy. He's been a guest on over 1,000 talk shows. Now you think about that. He's spoken at hundreds of Christian conferences, churches, and universities throughout North and Central America, Europe, Asia, and Israel. Gary's research news journal, Hope for the World Update, which we're going to make that how to get involved, how you can get that sent to your house, keeps readers informed of international, economic, political, and religious developments they need to be aware of in order to be, and this is the key word tonight, discerning Christians. Remember the scripture that I read? The first thing that Jesus said about the signs of his coming, he said, take heed that no man deceives you. And that's tonight what we really want to focus on. What is really going on here tonight behind the scenes? We can, every one of us can see this is not good. Our lives have been interrupted. Some of us have lost our jobs. We don't know how we're going to make ends meet. It's a very scary time in the natural. And this is where faith comes in. This is where trusting Jesus comes in. And that's why I've asked Gary to be on the program tonight. His passion to research and present truth that supports the gospel and points the way to Jesus Christ, the only hope for this world, is most important. And tonight, Gary joins us here on Cross-Eyed Radio. Gary Kyle, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Pastor Mike. How are you this evening?
Well, I'd like to say we were in better straits than we are, but I think God has us right where he wants us right now.
You know, you're right, and I heard most of your opening, and I really agree with everything that you said. We're on the same page on this. I think this is a type of shaking that is taking place. I think it's the beginning of other things to come, and I think a lot of good can actually come out of this for people who are watchful and who want to be discerning, and it should have the effect of driving us closer to the Lord. And hopefully that will be the result for many in this country.
Amen. And Gary, you know, as we get into our subject matters tonight regarding the coronavirus and how this will affect the political, or trying to affect the political landscape, and also we're going to talk about the globalist movement across the world tonight. But I want our listeners first to get a perspective. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how the Lord brought you into the ministry that you're serving right now.
Well, to begin with, I was the son of European immigrants. My family background is a big part of who I am. My father fled from the Nazis and the communists in Croatia when he was 12 years old toward the end of the war. They lost everything they had and became refugees. After the war, he and his cousins were able to get into Germany during the post-war recovery period and help with the rebuilding process under the Marshall Plan. Their goal was to work, save up enough money to be able to come to America, and that's what happened. But while he was there, he met my mother, who grew up in Germany under Hitler, and her father, my grandfather, was quite outspoken against Hitler, to the point where one day the secret police showed up in their little village of 300 looking for him. And had it not been for the fact that the mayor was very sympathetic and was a friend of the family, probably they would have gotten my grandpa. But he sent them, the secret police, in a different direction, and then tracked down my grandpa and said, they're after you, you need to get out of here. And so my grandpa hid out in the forest for a number of days until the coast was clear. So that's what my parents went through. And so growing up in Ohio, you know, I heard these the stories of what they went through, especially at family gatherings when they'd get together with all of their cousins. And so the Lord used that in my life to develop an interest in international affairs and developments at a pretty young age. And then I accepted Christ as my Savior. It was actually at a Jack Van Impe crusade when I was 11 years old, or getting ready to turn 11. And that following school year, we had our first history lesson dealing with World War II. And between that and what I had already come to understand from my parents, I remember sitting in my classroom in Kettering, Ohio, and praying silently to the Lord, God, if anything like what happened in World War II in Europe were to ever happen in this country, I promise to you I will take a stand no matter what the cost is.
Wow.
And I really, I meant it, you know, but
yeah.
As a kid, you never think that the Lord might take you up on that someday.
Mm-hmm.
And so fast forward over many years, eventually a position opened up for me to work for the government of Indiana. There were many people who applied for that position, but after the interview, it's as if I already knew I had the job. It was so strange. The Lord just overwhelmed me with joy. And sure enough, a week or two later, I got the call. And before I knew it, I was traveling all around the world, kind of as a point man for the government of Indiana to bring in business to our state to help increase exports to create more jobs on the home front. And so my meetings overseas were organized by our embassies. So I was on the payroll of the Indiana state government, but when I traveled overseas, the organization of all of my meetings were brought about through the commercial sections of the American embassies. And so I got to know a lot of those people quite well, and they introduced me to a number of different international business leaders, especially from the energy sector and the medical product area. And my travels took me to Israel four times, a number of countries in Europe more than once, and even some places in the Far East when it came to promoting medical products. And so I got quite an education, as you can imagine, meeting these people. And we would talk about economics, international developments. I mean, that was kind of a natural, you know, when you're in the area of international marketing, which
right.
really is what this was. And so then it's just one step further to talk about international political developments, and then sometimes we would talk about religious matters as well. And although I did meet a few Christians through my job, most of the people who I met were quite on the more liberal left end of the political spectrum, and a number of them were very much in favor of this idea of a global government. Which they believed would help bring about permanent world peace. They saw it as a good thing to empower the UN. I remember first hearing the term the New Age, which led me into investigating the New Age movement. And all this came through contacts I made through our embassies. And of course, the embassies were under the State Department, you know, and so this was a reflection of where our State Department was at already back then in the 80s, and that has carried through today in our government, and a lot of these kinds of people are still in there. And thank goodness there are some really solid, good people also working in these departments, but there's a leaning toward the left to move us toward global government. Well, to wrap all this part up real quick, I felt the Lord calling me to take a stand, and he reminded me of the commitment I made as a young kid. And I remember thinking, where in the world do I start with this? You know, if I'm to warn people about it, do I stand on a street corner and start talking about the New World Order? You know, people would think I'm crazy. And so I prayed about it for maybe a couple of weeks. It wasn't long. And then the Lord began opening up doors. It was really amazing. My best friend at the time worked in the Secretary of State's office here in Indiana. He was an aide to the Secretary of State. And they had a Bible study that was conducted in their office once a week, which I attended. And so my friend asked me one day to share about some of these things I had learned through my overseas travels and also locally regarding this push toward global government and what that meant. And so I did. And a number of the Christian state legislators who were part of that Bible study group, they then invited me to other groups and to share Sunday evenings at some churches. That went on for about 10 months or so. And then one day I was called into the office of the deputy director of commerce, and he asked me to take a seat, which I did, and he asked me if I'd been speaking out against world government, and I said, well, yeah, I have. And he said, don't you think that this possible trend toward world government isn't just a natural evolution of the progress of mankind?
Mm.
And So I responded. I said, no, I don't believe that's the case. Much of this is intentional. There are organizations involved in putting together meetings to further this agenda. I gave names and of people as well as organizations and was able to document that. And he let me go on for quite a while, and then he cut me off and he said, as long as you work for this administration, you will not talk about any of these things to any groups, regardless of their size, whether they are Christian or non-Christian. Is that understood? And before I could even think of a response, he said, you've been a tremendous asset to our administration, and we do not want to lose you, but the choice is yours. Hmm. And then there was dead silence. That's how the meeting ended. And So that was kind of the beginning, Mike. That's a few weeks later, I left my job, and after 6 long years of research and writing, got my first book finished, and that's really when our ministry was launched. I thought I was done when I had written the book. I thought, okay, Lord, I've done what you called me to do. I had no idea that would just be the beginning.
Well, Gary, I know there are a lot of people listening tonight. You know, this broadcast goes all the way through Canada up into Toronto. A lot of Christians that probably have never studied global occupation, the one world government. Some of maybe have heard about it, you know, and in just like to define that for the beginner of someone that's just starting to understand this, you know, define it for us in layman terms and what the Bible says about this. Why is this an evil plan? Because to the natural mind, they think, you know, we shrink down the world, we have global occupation, we get everyone together, we unite the world under a one world government, we have a common currency. What's so bad about that?
Well, I let me give you a few reasons why it would be dangerous and bad, just from a physical standpoint, and then we'll look at the scriptural ramifications. For one thing, for the U.S. to be merged into a one-world political, economic, and religious system, our current system that we have here of checks and balances that our founding fathers very carefully established would have to be eliminated. Mm-hmm. Secondly, our U.S. Constitution that has helped us to have more freedoms and opportunities than, you know, any country in history probably, would have to be either abolished or significantly altered in order to clear the way for us to merge into a world government. Thirdly, we would most definitely have a weaker voice in government. And, you know, it's amazing, some of the people at our embassies back when I was dealing with them, they didn't seem to see that. You know, they think it's going to bring about world peace and world unity, and, you know, that we, the people, would somehow help to bring this about. But once it's put in place, this global government would be run by bureaucrats. It would remove us, the people, one step further away. You know, now we'd have an international layer of government on top of federal, state, local, and all of that. So if you don't like bigger government, why in the world would you now want an international government? So we would have less of a say in things, not more. Fourthly, and this has to do with economics, there would have to be an international tax to fund this world government system. And in fact, various people at the UN have already discussed this quite in detail. They've hashed out various scenarios and prospective ways of raising money by taxing water consumption, international currency transactions, the cost of airline travel, all kinds of different things. But I believe there would be a type of international income tax as well that would start small, and then we know how that goes. It would grow. So if people don't like the government reaching further into their pockets, this would be really bad. I mean, the amount of international money that would be required to run such a comprehensive world government, I believe most people, once they understand that, would not be in favor of it. And then finally, and this is an oversimplification, right, I realize, on all these points, you know, but the fifth point is that through my research and my experiences over the years, the one thing that I've been able to count on consistently is that the people who are pushing this agenda, when you get to know them better and they open up, and especially if they don't know where you're coming from and they're willing to talk freely, consistently, they are not very fond of Bible-believing Christians nor conservative Jews, and they – what word can I use? They despise Israel. And those three things I noticed consistently. And so really the handwriting is on the wall. If you've got people like this promoting a world government and people even more powerful than them who would be likely sitting on top of it because they're the ones helping to fund all these provisions to take us in that direction, and they're anti-Christian across the board, you know, it doesn't take a real discerning person to figure out what that would mean for us if this ever came about. And so at this point, I guess I'd like to make the jump over to the religious side of it and what the Bible says. Of course, Jesus, as you already stated, Mike, in Matthew 24 gave, you know, a number of warnings to believers to be discerning in the last days because of the type of deception that would come. And people oftentimes ask me, where in the Bible do you find anything about world government? And the answer is Revelation chapter 13 and 14. Mm-hmm. If you read them carefully, especially verses 2 through 8 of Revelation 13, what you have there really is the description of a global political system, an end times global political system that will use its economic and military power to enforce a type of religious worship. And that religious worship ends up being luciferic, satanic. The number one thing I believe that Satan wants in his defiance against God is the worship of mankind. And any way he can get that, even if it's forced, that's what he's going for. And so the agenda here is to enslave mankind to a point where people will be forced into a system that supports and worships the Antichrist, who, you know, is a representative of Satan in this world when that time comes. So the Bible warns us that such a time would come. It talks also about the fact that people would be forced to receive a mark on the back of the right hand or forehead without which they will not be able to buy or sell. Well, to enforce that type of an endeavor, there has to be a world government system in place.
Right.
Otherwise, that couldn't happen. And so it really is all right there, and we've been forewarned, and the technology now exists. Things have been in place, in my opinion, for about a year and a half. It's been ready to go. All they've needed really is a major crisis that can take things down to as close to rock bottom as possible so that people in the aftermath respond in such a way that, you know, how do we get out of this? This is terrible. What do we do? And I think that at that time, at the right moment, they will step in with this solution that will sound really good to a system that's falling apart. And what we're witnessing right now could be the beginnings of that. We'll have to wait and see. I don't know. But the stage is definitely being set.
Wow. Wow. You're listening tonight here on Crossside Radio to Gary Kah, and he is an expert on the subject of the One World Interfaith Movement. And what we're seeing right now is a major crisis across the world. And for the globalists, that is something that we've seen in their writings, their plan, that the system that we presently are in would have to go through a major crash, a crisis, if you will, worldwide. And we know, based on, Gary, what you brought out here in Revelation 13, in order for this one world leader, this dictator, this antichrist person, there has to be a global system put in place. And this could be, as you say, the very beginning to that. So what we want to do tonight is we've got to take a break, but when we come back, so much more to ask Gary tonight about, and I have questions for you, Gary, to go through this. I want to look at this corona crisis, the reality of it, how bad it is. I know you have some firsthand knowledge for us coming out of Italy. I want to talk about that and how this could be used possibly by the globalists to do some very serious work towards a one-world system. And this is what Christians need to be alerted to, aware of, and definitely praying against. And so you're listening to Cross-Eyed Radio. I want to give out that phone number. If you would like to call and just, we have an operator, and you have a question for Gary Kott tonight, we'll do our best to get to it. The number to call is 716-229-8000. That's 716-229-8000 in the local area. And if you're outside of the greater Buffalo area, you're up in Canada, 1-888-444-2920. That's 1-888-444-2920. You're listening to Cross-Eyed Radio. We're going to be right back after this station break with more with Gary Kott.
Joshua Revolution has many resources to help you in your walk with Christ, including three powerful books on topics important for every believer. The first is Cross-Eyed, How to Have Victory Over Sin. The second, A Mighty River, a book and study guide about the Holy Spirit and the role that He plays in the believer's life. And our newest book, The Last Trump, is a detailed study of end-time Bible prophecy and the current signs taking place in our world today, all pointing to the soon-coming rapture of the church. Stop by our website, joshuarevolution.org, to check out these books and other resources available, or call 1-888-444-2920.
Joshua Revolution has just launched a brand new app. Download the Joshua Revolution app today from the App Store on your mobile device. The Joshua Revolution app will help you stay connected and be a part of Joshua Revolution wherever you are. You can access and listen to past radio programs right in the JR app and find out what events are coming up. Download the Joshua Revolution app today.
Joshua Aaron, awesome, awesome worship leader, Messianic Jewish worship leader out of Israel, Joshua Aaron. Check it out online. And that's his latest song on his album, You Are Holy, and can't get enough of his worship. Praying about him coming to a Joshua Revolution conference, Lord willing, if we're still here. I have to say that because the way things are going, the Lord could take us off this earth very soon. And so we have to be ready at all times. But Lord willing, we'll be bringing a little bit more to of Joshua Aaron, at least here on this program. We're back here on Cross-Eyed Radio. This is your host, Mike Chory, and our guest tonight is Gary Ka. And Gary, let's talk a little bit about the coronavirus. I just got the latest numbers of what's going on. There are now over 300,000 cases across the world, and 13,000 people, over 13,000 people have died as a result of this this terrible, terrible virus. And here in the U.S., we are on major shutdown. And I don't know what it's like where you are, but I think it's similar to New York. You're in shutdown right there.
We're able to go out to grocery stores and drug stores and do basic things like that. But pretty much everybody's hunkered down in their homes now, and the streets are pretty empty. Our daughter is a nurse at the hospital that's probably been treating the most coronavirus patients, and her husband is a respiratory therapist at the same hospital. So they're right in the thick of things, and so we haven't been around them now for a number of days. They're keeping their distance from family members, but the numbers are growing here like everywhere else, and fortunately, so far in this country, the death rate has been closer to 1%, 1.5%, something like that.
Right.
Of course, it's not fortunate for those people who have fallen victim to it, but everything's being done to try to keep the numbers down. But globally, as of today, the death rate from this virus has been between 4 and 5%, except in Italy, where it's been over, I think, right around 8%. And we have a close friend in Italy, northeastern Italy, and we just FaceTimed with him just two nights ago. And we stay in touch about every 3 days or so, and it's amazing what is taking place over there. It really is quite serious. He said that in one cemetery, the hearses were backed up. They couldn't get in. There were so many people that were trying to bury at one cemetery. It's just all kind of surreal. And we talked about it, and what they think happened is that, of course, Italian people, it's a very social life. They're out a lot eating and celebrating, and so a lot of young people got infected with this and didn't show much of any symptoms, and then brought it home with them, because in Italy, in a lot of cases, you've got two or three generations living together under one roof. That's kind of the Italian culture, and plus the homes many times are very close together and connected, and so it was kind of an ideal situation for this thing to spread rapidly. And so it got into the older population. And among them, you've got 15-20% that are dying from this. And so we have to take this thing seriously in our country, because we don't want things to become over here like, you know, what they're facing in Italy. And that goes for our Canadian listeners, too, of course. Right now, we had about a two-week head start compared to where Italy was when all this got going. And so it needs to be taken seriously. But this whole thing in Florida that we just witnessed, you know, tens of thousands of young people in close contact on the beaches down there, is just ridiculous. And, and of course, they're all going home now. And so you can only hope for the best on that, you know, that not too many of them were infected. But I do believe the Trump administration is moving in the right direction overall on this. It has to be taken seriously, And I know a lot of people, including myself, you know, we feel uncomfortable in basically a lockdown situation. But Mike, you and I, we were talking about this the other day off the air.
Right.
You know, there are different scenarios that can emerge from out of this. And one, the best case scenario would be this. If you take this moment in time right now, that we're in, if everybody did exactly what they were supposed to do to keep their distance, to regularly wash their hands, you know, and disinfect things, and there were to be no more infections after today, let's just say. Well, those people who are already infected, who don't realize it yet, it would take up to 10 days for them to find out about it. And then about 2 more weeks beyond that for them to recover from the virus, or for those who would die from it, for that to happen. So you're looking at about 3.5 weeks, something like 25 days. If everybody did their part, this thing could be over in 25 days. Now, do I think that's going to happen? No. It would take a miracle of sorts for it to happen, but this would be the best case scenario. What's more than likely to happen is that it will peak perhaps within 2 months or so, maybe late April into May, and then begin declining. If people take it seriously enough, my concern is this: if it drags on too long, well, for one thing, you know, there's going to be a lot more loss of life because this thing will multiply. But also, as a very liberal media establishment has the opportunity to put their narrative out in front of people every single day, producing a panic, you're going to see the stock market decline further. It could take us to an all-out collapse. We're moving in that direction right now. But a lot of this, I believe, has been due to how the media has hyped all of this rather than covering it truly in a level-headed kind of way with balance. And so, you know, it makes one wonder, are they trying to collapse the system? And, of course, with my background and having learned what I have over the years and knowing there are a lot of globalists out there who – some have openly stated it. They said, you know, if we have to collapse the economy to get Trump out, let's do it, you know, half-jokingly, half-seriously, because the economy has been the single strongest part of the Trump administration, and if you take that away from Trump, it will be very difficult for him to get reelected. And so the left actually has an incentive to help fuel this thing and throw gas on the flame, and that's what's happening right now as I see it. So the longer this goes on before the numbers begin to go down, the greater an opportunity the media has to continue to sensationalize everything and drive the stock market down and put us into a true economic collapse. We're not there yet, but could get there. So we really need to hope and pray that people take this seriously and that we can get through the worst of it within a few weeks so that it doesn't drag on and on.
You know, it's interesting when you look at what's going on in Italy. You know, as we look at the total number of cases being over now 53,000, and they have now become the most deaths in any country, surpassing China. Now they're at 4,825 deaths. Looking at the USA, we're about a little less than half of the cases right now, but we only have 302 deaths compared to, you know, Italy's 4,800 or more. What do you think contributes to that? Just better health care here, some of the you've already referred to, the elderly, maybe a higher population, or definitely a higher population of elderly in Italy, because that's a dramatic number swing percentage-wise of the fatalities that are coming out of Italy compared to U.S. and other countries.
Yeah, I believe it really Italy was caught flat-footed on this thing. It just caught them off guard. You know, it was in China and Iran and South Korea, and then all of a sudden it pops up in Europe out of the clear blue in Italy. And I guess we could have expected that. I was actually in Rome last spring and spoke at a church on a Sunday morning, and right as I got up there to start sharing, there were a bunch of Asian people who walked in, and later on after the service, I came to find out that they were Chinese. There were about a dozen of them, Chinese Christian believers, and some of them spoke English quite well, and we were able to have some dialogue, and some interesting things were told to me. I'm not going to go into that right now, but my point is I was surprised how many Chinese Italians there were. China has had a real presence in Italy, and there's been a lot of going back and forth, traveling back and forth, and so I think that's one reason why the infection was stronger in Italy and got into the young population, even young professionals, you know, who are generally healthy and didn't come down with a full-blown case of it, but spread it to others, and it got into the older population. Here in this country, largely because of what has happened in Italy, I think this whole thing got taken more seriously, more quickly, and especially after what happened in Seattle, you know, where it spread through a nursing home and a lot of elderly died quickly. And so I think that has spared a lot of lives thus far, and a lot of people, most people we know, have really begun taking this seriously in the last week. Now, the death rate will go up, I believe, in this country. And the numbers will multiply, especially over the next few weeks, and so just expect that. It's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. But a lot of capable people are working very hard on this, and I commend the administration and also those people who they have selected to head up the effort to counter this. We've got some really competent people in place, and I think as long as people do what they're supposed to do, we can get through this more quickly. But one thing that really could be a godsend if this works, there's some medications out there now that appear to be working against the coronavirus, and they're cheap to produce. I think the one pill is only something like 15 cents a pill, and they could be mass-produced fairly quickly. And I'm talking about chloroquine and also hydroxychloroquine, also possibly remdesivir. I believe I'm pronouncing it correctly. If this turns out to be the case, you know, and if you can take some pills for a few days that would help knock this virus out or at least keep it from getting worse within a person and save that life. And I don't want to compare it to taking a Tylenol for a headache. I realize this is a lot more severe, but still, if these medicines can work effectively, that could really help us out in this country a whole lot. And also, a friend of mine mentioned this. He said, be sure to tell this to people because it really saved this friend's life. He took vitamin C infusions over a period of an extensive period of time because he had an immunity deficiency problem that could have killed him, and really the vitamin C infusions kept him alive and worked for him quite well. And so there are some doctors, usually at least a few doctors in each major city, that are able to carry those out. It can't hurt any, it can only help. So that's another possibility. So I think as the word about these kinds of things gets out more, I believe that will help to keep the death rate down in this country, but I do believe it's probably going to go higher than where it is right now. I believe it's just over 1%. I could see it go up over 2%, at least for a period of time, before it comes back down. Hopefully that won't happen. But, it, you know, early on, you had the left coming out, sensationalizing everything and just going crazy with all of this. And then some well-meaning people, I believe, countered that because they saw how the Trump administration was really being unjustly hammered for their reaction on all of this. And so people were saying, well, this isn't really any worse than the flu. And they were citing numbers of, for example, the number of people who died from the flu last year, I believe is somewhere around 30, 35,000, something like that. But what's important to analyze in all of this is the death rate. That's the key number we want to look at. And we know already that the coronavirus is probably about 3 to 4 times more contagious than the flu. And then on top of that, the death rate is somewhere between 10 to 20 times higher, it's believed. Only about 1 in 1,000 people, something like that, died from the flu last year. And with this coronavirus, in a best case scenario, we're looking at maybe 1%, which is 10 times higher. And
right.
Of course, in Italy, it's way off the charts. It's like, you know, 70 times higher, something like that right now. And so people need to take this seriously because of that, and especially in the older population where the percentage is much higher than 1 or 2%. And we know that now already factually. So don't compare it to the flu. It is very different from the flu, although I understand what people were trying to say, the point they were trying to make when they saw the left media sensationalizing things the way they have.
Yeah, and let me ask this question. You know, going back to 2009 and 10 when we had the breakout of the swine flu, the H1N1, and I'm looking at the numbers right now. We had 60, if we can believe this, 60 million people in our country who had that virus. The death rate on that was just over, it was 12,469. So that fatality percentage was 0.02%, where right now, looking at the numbers of today, and they think this could come down a little more with the testing, but still that fatality rate on the coronavirus in our country right now is at 1.3%. So someone wanting to know why have we acted so much more on this virus than we did, you know, 10 years ago, would it be simply that fatality rate percentage?
Yeah, it looks like the coronavirus is about 60 to 70 times more deadly than that previous virus that hit the country, the flu and the swine flu. If it was 0.02, and we know that the reaction to the coronavirus death rate is probably going to be over 1%. So right there is a 50 to 1 ratio, and it could be a little bit higher than that. We'll see. So that's why we have to take it seriously. You know, when you're getting into those kinds of numbers, okay, you take a church of 500 people. You know, if you lose 1.5%, that's 6 or 7 people in that congregation. And if you have an older congregation, it could be 10 to 20 people. And so the numbers can quickly multiply and add up on this. And again, you know, we all hope it's not going to get to the point where we see tens of thousands of people die from this. But if everybody does what they should do, we can limit the effects from it. And I hope that's beginning to happen right now.
Right. And, of course, Italy and China and now Spain is climbing. Their numbers are climbing pretty strong. Those are the things, obviously, our government is really concerned about, and we should be as well. And so, you know, the actions that we're taking might seem extreme, but this is to protect the people. And I want to just point out Canada, too, has right now 1,328 people cases with the COVID-19, 19 deaths in Canada. And I know our president and President Trudeau has cut off the border for people going back and forth just in social, the essentials are still going across the border, but they've closed that border down to protect the spread of this. Let's talk a little bit, Gary, tonight about with this threat, Christians, we know that the Word of God tells us that we are not to fear. I want to just read a scripture, and we've got to take a station break here in just a few minutes, but I want to read this for the people out there that are really afraid, because what I have seen and noticed, even in the body of Christ, there's fear, and in the world, there's a lot of fear, and this is what is, you know, really causing some problems. If it's in the market, people hoarding too much food, or if it's just, you know, paranoia, very strong with some people who are, you know, afraid, deathly afraid to get this. But I want to read Psalm 91. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall you trample under your feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. Psalm 91, and let me just conclude that. The last two verses are wonderful as well. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life shall I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Wonderful, encouraging psalm of God's ability and desire to protect those who trust him. Obviously, we respect this disease. We respect this virus. But we can become overcome with fear where we start to, you know, grieve the Lord, where we're no longer walking by faith. We're walking by simple fear. So we have just a minute here before we take a station break, but I wonder if you might comment on that.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Mike. You know, no matter how difficult things become for us as believers on this earth, we need to remember that we have an incredible hope that overrides everything. Eternally speaking, you know, if God is for us, who can be against us? If we've surrendered our hearts to Jesus, we cling to him as our Savior, our eternity is secure. So just that knowledge alone, and remembering that we are as strangers in this world, just passing through, that helps to lighten the load on this, because so many people are living in fear right now, and they're worrying about one thing or another. And I remind people, you know, the story of Elijah, when he fled to the Kereth Ravine, God fed him with ravens. He used ravens to bring him bread and meat in the morning and in the evening. We serve a supernatural God who can do incredible things. And so, yes, we need to do our part to be as prepared as we can be within reason, but we shouldn't go overboard. We need to keep our faith strong in the Lord and remember that he is ultimately in control.
Amen. Amen. We're talking with Gary Kott tonight, an expert in the area of the global one world movement. And he is an expert not in favor, we should point that out, but standing for the truth of the scriptures. And we're going to take a break here, but I want to, when we come back, Gary, I want to talk more about what may be on the minds of the globalists of trying to take advantage of this worldwide crisis. What would be their objectives, and where is this thing ultimately going to land? Because we know if it's not, you know, through this crisis, it's going to happen, and very soon, as we know, we see by the nation of Israel that we are in the end times here. And this is a fascinating time to be on the earth. We must be warning people, and we want to give you all the tools you can tonight to warn your neighbors, warn your family about what is really going on spiritually. So don't touch that dial. When we come back off this break, we're going to be talking with Gary more about the specifics of the spirit by which is going on behind the scenes. So we'll be right back with more of Cross Eye Radio.
You're listening to 99.5 WDCX FM and HD and WDCZ AM 970 Buffalo.
Cross-Eyed Radio is a listener-supported radio talk show centered on proclaiming the life-changing message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If you have been blessed and encouraged by listening to the message of the cross presented on this program, we invite you to become a monthly supporter of Cross-Eyed Radio. With your help, we can continue to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and bring hope to both the lost and the struggling believer. For more information on how you can be involved in supporting Cross-Eyed Radio, go to crosseyedradio.org or call Joshua Revolution at 1-888-415-KIDS.
Hope Darris, Peace Be Still, and what a appropriate song for the storm that we're in right now. And, you know, the Bible gives such comfort in times like these, and not only is it meant to comfort, but it's meant to challenge us. And I want to challenge you with this verse tonight, 2 Chronicles 7:14, but I want to read the 13th verse. Most Christians know the 14th verse, but let's read 2 Chronicles 7:13-14. It says, God speaking, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. And I just want to say this to all the listeners here tonight here on Crossside Radio. Friend, this is the time in our homes where we need to get down on our knees and we need to humble ourselves and we need to pray, not only praying for our nation and the world, but we need to seek God like we've never sought Him before. We right now are in perilous times, and God is trying to get the attention of the church. The Bible says judgment begins in the house of the Lord. And this verse says that we are to repent. When we see in the land drought, when we see famine, when we see the locusts devouring the crops, when we see the pestilence, the virus, the incurable diseases, the spread of these things, the church, God's people, are to go to prayer, and we are to pray and repent of everything in our life that is not of God. We are not only in our house for a reason. We're in a house, in our house, to clean our house. And I'm not talking about your little house, but your heart, your life. So many have taken God for granted. We we don't even really study the Bible anymore. We don't even know the first thing about the book of Revelation. And yet, what is happening in our day is lining up as though we are about to head right into the book of Revelation, the apocalypse. And tonight, are you as serious about what's going on as you should be? Your refrigerator might be packed with food, and you might have been one of the fortunate ones to get all the toilet paper you need. I don't know. But let me tell you something. This is way bigger than that. This is a time for us to go before the Lord. And I believe that if every Christian in the United States of America and Canada or wherever you are around the world, if we would follow this verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14, I believe this virus could lift supernaturally. I believe it could be stopped, and we could see. Wouldn't it be amazing, Gary, if we saw some this just turn away, and all of a sudden no new cases, and we could open the doors to our house, and we could open the churches by Easter Sunday? What an amazing moment that would be, because they're saying this could go on for several months. But I want to believe that God can lift. I know God can lift this, but He's first looking to His bride to take this serious, and this is a time of prayer and repentance. Anything you want to add to that, Gary, tonight?
No, I would say amen and amen. You know, here in North America especially, we've been living in some ways like heaven on earth. I mean, we have had it so good compared to so much of the rest of the world. And human beings, naturally, they tend to drift away from the Lord, Christians do, if they don't feel they need Him as much. You know, when you have everything at your disposal, at your fingertips, it tends to draw people, materialism tends to draw people away from the Lord. And so this shockwave that is hitting us right now, I am praying fervently that it drives people closer to the Lord and brings about a true repentance, not just a, you know, like a 9/11, you know, 2 week mini revival that went on and then everybody forgot about it, but people really getting serious about the Lord and walking closely with Him every day and developing the type of relationship with the Lord that He wants from us. And if that comes out of this, then this whole thing could end up being, you know, a positive, something negative that can be turned into a positive. I'm really praying into that, and I know you are as well, Pastor Mike.
Yeah, and Gary, I know there's a lot of questions coming in. I'm sure you're fielding them. We're fielding them here. And I just want to, in the short time we have with you, want to get to some of those that people might be thinking about tonight. And first question would be, do you believe or do you think that this virus could be or is a judgment sent by God to the nations? What's your perspective on that?
Well, nothing takes place without God knowing about it. So at the very least, He has allowed this. None of us know for sure how the virus got started, whether it was man-made, concocted in a laboratory in Wuhan, or if it got started in some other way. But whatever the case is, I believe that God wants good to come out from this. And I believe He wants our attention and focus to be directed toward Him. Whenever anything bad befalls the earth, whether in the form of outright evil or whether it's a judgment from God, what needs to happen in every scenario is us turning to God, turning our faces Amen. Toward Him. And whenever Israel did that, you know, and Judah, God intervened on their behalf, and they enjoyed further good times. But when they repeatedly denied God and went after false idols, after God repeatedly warned them, we all know what happened. And so we need to take a lesson from that. God is very patient. He's a very gracious, loving God. But He warns and warns and warns, and eventually, if nothing changes, then He lets things happen and removes His protective covering. And so this is a test for our nation. Which way are we going to go? What are we going to do? I was very pleased to see that President Trump called for a National Day of Prayer last Sunday. That's a step in the right direction, and I hope people really do take that seriously. And I would hope that people as individuals go further and maybe even consider going into a time of fasting and prayer as they have never done before on behalf of our nation right now.
Yeah, I am praying that, you know, he would continue to call that, you know, if not every Sunday. Every Sunday, I would think, would be a great time for the churches that are home right now to, you know, just pray, maybe get on the phone with other Christians and just use it as a day of prayer. I know that families are praying, but I thought that might be, you know, the Lord would give the church ideas and to start prayer chains and call, you know, with our phones, you can have conference calls, 3, 4, 5 people, have your own prayer meeting while you're there cooped up in your house. Gary, let me ask this. Do you think the nation overreacted sending the college students home, or was that a good decision to send them all home and shut it down, or what's your perspective on that?
You know, it's always easier to second guess on something like that, but we have a son still in college. I'm the father of 4 millennials, and our last one is going through college still. And to me, it would have made more sense possibly to actually keep them in the schools and maybe not let them go off campus as much as they might normally do, so they can't spread it and contain it there. Because so many of these kids that got let out, they just went out and partied, you know, and it may end up spreading to a lot more people by them being out than if they were kept in school. So that's just my view on that, but who knows? That's a difficult one to answer.
Right. I know you mentioned about the young people in Italy that spreading it to the older generation there, so maybe that would have been something we could have done differently there. But like you said, that's past. We're moving forward. Let me ask this. We talked about this the other day on the phone. Talk for a moment about the global elites and their desire to crash the U.S. currency and bring in a new world currency. Could you explain that to our listeners tonight, what that's all about?
Yeah. First of all, perspective of how globalists think. Those who head up some of the organizations that have been pushing this agenda for a long time, really they need a crisis, a big crisis. And if they can take a smaller crisis and turn it into something big and fuel it, that's what they're looking for. You've heard the saying, never let a good crisis go to waste. We've heard that a few times by now. That's coming from the left. That's how these people think. And so really any proposed arrangement that would promise world peace and security and unlimited government handouts on the heels of a major economic collapse, for example, would be received with open arms probably by the current generation. And they're already drifting towards socialism. And so really what has to happen is that chaos has to be facilitated and promoted in every area of life. Things have to look utterly hopeless from a physical standpoint in the world in order for globalists to be able to successfully introduce this new system. That's how they're thinking on this, and people need to understand that. Because think about it. Most people would never really accept a new and completely different world order, a political, economic, and religious system of governing, unless they feel it is the only way forward.
Right.
So this coming solution, as the globalists will call it, must therefore appear to be absolutely necessary for saving the planet. So this is the stage that has to be set. Like, there's no way out. We have to do this. We have to take this next leap forward as humanity and come together and unify the world under a global political, economic, religious system. Or else, you know, we're just going to be devastated as a planet. And so if you've got even multiple wars going on, if there was a limited nuclear exchange, if you've got disease spreading everywhere, the global warming crisis, you know, that the sky is falling and on and on and on. And you see how there every crisis can be blown up and made to appear to be worse. And all of that collectively together will be used to introduce the new system whenever that time comes. And I cannot tell you when it's going to happen, but I do know this. The new global currency system has been in place, ready to go for, I'd say, about a year and a half. And what I'm getting from a couple of very well-placed sources is that if globalists have their way, this new system would involve a distributed ledger, blockchain, crypto technology that would be used in the upcoming new global currency system. And right now they're building that around the SDR currency, which stands for Special Drawing Rights, digital currency. Now, that name could be changed. SDR, to me, that sounds kind of difficult to remember. You know, they might end up calling it the Earth Dollar or whatever, but it'll be some type of unit of exchange, and if they can pull it off right from the get-go, they would love to make it a cashless electronic monetary unit. And some international banks, and most people are not aware of this, but some of the international banks are already using the SDR currency to settle their accounts. And so they've already taken that step in a limited way. So this is right around the corner if there's a major economic crisis. And so, again, if things hit rock bottom, don't be surprised if they try to introduce this system in the days ahead.
Wow. And tonight you're listening to Gary Kah. And, Gary, I want to let everyone know that this subject is something very dear to you. You've written two books, and there you also have a newsletter that is very informative. How do they get a hold of that tonight, or get on your mailing list to learn more about your ministry and get more information like you're given tonight?
Well, they can go to our website, which is GaryKah.org. It's simply myname.org, GaryKah.org. And on the homepage, on the right-hand side, you'll see some articles that I've written over the past year, including the lead article of our most recent issue, which is called It's Game On. That's the title of that article, and I hope people take the time to read that. Our publication is called Hope for the World Update. It's a quarterly. It's full of research. We usually have about 10 or 12 different writers writing up-to-date articles on all of these developments. I usually will write the lead article, and it is subscription-based, and this is how the Lord has chosen to underwrite our ministry, through these subscriptions. So when you become a subscriber, you literally help us to keep going, to keep talking about this subject and get this information out. So again, you can go to our website and become a subscriber to Hope for the World Update. It's usually about 20 pages long. And then also you can get my books, and Roots of Global Occupation, which was my first one, and then The New World Religion, my second book. And in those books, we actually reproduce the evidence. We have documents in there on the stationery of some of these organizations that are trying to bring all these things about. So we put the evidence right there in front of people so that you know I'm not pulling this information out of thin air. It really is taking place, and hopefully it will have the proper effect on people reading the book, which if you don't know the Lord, I hope you will consider accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior in response to what you see going on in the world around us, because He is the only answer. And so that's what we're all about, and that's why we call our ministry Hope for the World, because we do see that Christ is our hope.
Amen, amen. And we're going to give people an opportunity tonight, if they don't have a relationship with Jesus, in just a moment. I want to just ask this one or two more questions before we come to the end tonight. I want to, first of all, it's been asked, you know, about the vaccination, this global vaccination that it seems to be or could be pushed after an event, a crisis worldwide like this. Tell us why that's not a good thing.
Well, if it could be avoided, it would be great, because just this idea of everybody in the world having to be vaccinated, and then when you see this digital ID, and people can go to www.id2020.org, and I just pulled this quote down before the talk show here with you, Mike. On that website, it says, through our certification mark, we shape the technical landscape to ensure that the digital ID solutions which are developed and adopted are user-managed, privacy-protecting, and interoperable. In January 2019, the Alliance launched the ID 2020 certification mark at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. And then they go on and talk more about it. And so this whole idea of companies and individuals eventually having to have a mark to be able to involve themselves in economic activity, that's where things are headed. And so if everybody has to have a vaccination around the world, you know, where they stick a needle in you and give you this thing, it makes it easier at some point in the future for everyone to receive a mark, possibly through a chip insert in, you know, on the forehead or the back of the hand. Some of that is already being done experimentally. I know that for a fact in Sweden and also a couple of other countries in the world where several thousand people are being used basically as guinea pigs for this. And so it's just moving things in this direction. So I would hope that my first choice, of course, is that God would intervene supernaturally. Mm-hmm. He can do that even by making this medication available that seems to be working in people right now. You know, mm-hmm. God works through surgeons, and he right. also works through supernatural miracles. So that would be what I would like to see take place. Time will tell. Only time will tell on this.
Gary, your gut feeling here, is this it? Is this what is going to this crisis or this terrible virus that has plagued the world, shut down the world, really. President Trump was saying it's now in 140 nations, and I think I saw it on the numbers today. It's even in more than that, almost the whole world. This event has every look that it could be an event that could lead us into this global one-world government. What's your thoughts? Is God going to give us more time? This is the warning before the big one, or what's your thoughts? Where are we on the timetable to the coming of the Lord?
Well, I personally believe, and this is just my opinion, I personally believe that some far greater shakings are going to be coming. This would be the beginning. I think when we look back, maybe this was the beginning. And I do believe that the powers that be would like to try to collapse the system if they could, to bring in their new currency, which would be a big step into a world government system. I think they're ready, and they would like to make that happen. And the big question is right now, will God allow it, or will he intervene on our behalf and give us some more time? And I believe what God decides to do, which is totally up to him, but I think that depends in part on how people respond. Are we going to repent and really get on our knees before the Lord and cry out to him and ask him to intervene? And are we willing to change our lives and allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through us? Those are questions I can't answer. Time will tell. So it could go either way at this point. We're at a very critical juncture right now, these next two or three weeks, so I do want people to take this seriously, but most importantly, to take their relationship with the Lord seriously. I cannot emphasize that enough. You know, a Jewish friend of mine who learned that I was going to be on the air at 4 o'clock in the morning sent me an email. He's a Christian believer living outside of the U.S., and these are just a few of the words that he closed with, that he shared as an encouragement to me to share with people. He said, "The Lord is telling me to be flexible, to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, to remember he did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. A sound mind means we are to be wise and walk circumspectly. Our Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous shall run into it, and they shall be safe. We need to use this as a time of preparation for far greater things that will befall the earth. We need to let our light so shine that a dark and dying people can see our Lord. And so those words just really resonated with me, and so I wanted to share that with our listeners this evening.
Amen, amen. And Gary, as we just have a minute or two here, for those that are listening tonight that, you know, they don't have peace in their heart, there's a lot of fear. They tonight may not even be born again. They might not even know Jesus. Tonight we want to give them an opportunity to receive him. And I know they've been listening. I know it's been so interesting to listen to you tonight on all these things that are taking place in our world, pointing to the soon and imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't want any to perish. We don't want anyone to die and go to hell. We want them all to be saved. So tonight, could you give an opportunity and could you pray for that one out there that is really in need of Jesus tonight?
Yes, if you've not accepted Jesus as your Savior, you must believe that Jesus is who he says he is and that he paid the penalty for your sins with his death on the cross. And then you need to accept his free gift of eternal life, which he can offer simply because he conquered death through his resurrection. And he is now our attorney, if you will, before God. He stands between us and God's judgment. Because of what Jesus did, we can come before God and approach him in peace as a friend of the Lord's. And so I just want people to understand that before we pray.
Amen.
If you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, do so right now. Pray with me and believe with all of your heart. Lord God, I am a sinner. I acknowledge that I am and that I understand that without you, there is no hope of me gaining eternal salvation. It is only through you, because of what you did on the cross,
Amen.
You paying the penalty for my sins, that I can have eternal life. So now I believe that you have paid my penalty, and I receive you into my life as my Savior and my Lord. And I ask you, Lord, to indwell me with your Holy Spirit and help me to walk according to your will and serve you faithfully the rest of the days of my life on this earth, Lord. Help me not to be fearful, but to be overwhelmed by your love and your peace. In Jesus' name, I pray.
In Jesus' name, amen. And if you just prayed that prayer with Gary Ka, could you do something very special? Go to your phone and call the number 716-229-8000. We want to talk to you. We have some information, a book to give you that will help you grow. 229-8000 outside of Buffalo, 1-888-444-2920. That's 1-888-444-2920. Gary, thank you so much. We're going to have you on, if you will, again. We love you, and we'll be praying for your ministry.
Thank you, Mike. It's been good to be with you.
Likewise. God bless you. For all our listeners, Lord willing, we'll be back with you next week. Have a great week. Keep your faith and trust in Jesus. Do not be afraid.
You have been listening to Crosside, a radio talk show sponsored by Joshua Revolution. If Crosside has been a blessing to you, please let us know by sending in a testimony of how the program has helped you. If you would like to support Crosside financially, you can send financial gifts as well as testimonies to Joshua Revolution, P.O. Box 923, Grand Island, New York, 14072. Or go online to joshuarevolution.org. We thank you for your help and prayers. And remember to tune in next week at 9 p.m. for Crosside, a radio show proclaiming the message of the cross.